right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 144, our top 10 games of 2019. Howdy, everybody. Portal Game Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to Facebook and check us out on there, The Portal, or on Twitter at PortalGaming60. Portal Game Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, excited to bring you the top 10 games of 2019. And with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
And your guest host, Larry.
Awesome. And we're just going to jump in and get to 2019. Larry, halfway through, we did an episode, and we talked about how the games weren't... there wasn't, like, a stellar game from the year, but there were a lot of good games. And I feel like that still kind of defines 2019. Like, yeah, there isn't those one or two that are going to rise to the top and be in a lot of top 10 lists of all time or rise up on BGG, but there's a lot of games that were really fun. I had 35 games that were on my list for my top 10. However, it wasn't hard for me to narrow it down to 10, or 11 is what I actually got stuck with.
I agree with your statement, probably outside of the top, my top four or five. I would say 6 to 30 for me. To your point, 11 could have been 15 and 8 could have been 12. I mean, yeah, I think 6 to 30, there was a lot of awesome games. But my 1 through 5, I feel like are pretty solid and, you know, kind of better than good.
Yeah.
On the exceptional side.
Okay.
We'll see.
I don't feel that way, but.
Well, yeah, like, I guess I felt the same way, where it was like a lot of stuff that was kind of jockeying for position and not really solidifying. Like, I don't know. I guess I have 25 or so that were kind of in that that discussion, so.
There's a few games from this year that I don't know they could challenge other games, and I could see it. And then, and initially, you know, in our standard 1 to 3 plays or whatever that we get in a first year, I'm not sure that they would replace, you know, a game.
And that's where this year was a little interesting for me. As you know, I did a pretty large play, but I would say 4 of my top 5 games were played over 10 times by me this year. And that, to me, is one of the things that rose them, you know, to the top, because they were that good. You know, I played amazing games in the past where I played it twice, right? Some of these games, well, I won't say one of them that has 60 plays, but we'll get to there.
Yeah, that one's interesting, because that could replace a game that used to be in my top 10.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one is...
I'm assuming that one's on your list. If it's not, we'll have a fisticuffs after this podcast. So,
all right, so let's jump in. We'll just go around the table, as you do in three-player. Yeah. And we'll do our number 10, starting with Larry.
All right. I am going to just make one little caveat. My top 10, my number 10 game that got scratched off, which is now 11, I try to get it in my top 10 for my friend, Fleet the Dice. So it just missed. Just missed.
Oh, wow.
But my number 10 would be Nemesis. I've played it about 5 times now. Really like, I mean, again, Alien, the minis game. I mean, best way to describe it. But again, the component quality, the immersion in the theme, and then the idea that it's, you could play full co-op, semi-co-op, competitive, that kind of semi-co-op, kind of backstab, like, I actually played a game where I got trapped in an airlock, and then they blew open the airlock, and I got sucked in outer space, you know, and his win condition was have this done and be the only survivor. So for me, that game, just on that minis component and the quality and the theme, kind of just irked into the top 10. It's one of the better big minis games that I've been looking at the last few years.
I didn't get a chance to play it, and I'm sad now, because for Dice Tower Awards, we just officially made that a 2019 game. It must have gotten shipped Kickstarter in late November, early December, something like that, but then not really been available to some people till January. So that officially got moved into this year, which means it's going to be voted on. I imagine that will be one for production that'll certainly get nominated. I don't know. I don't know anything yet. There's no plans. But so I really want to get that one played in terms of that. So I'll have to borrow your copy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's your type, but well, I guess we'll see. Like, I played it once, and I had a fun time with it. It's like it gives you, or it gave me like a Dead of Winter sort of feel. And I liked that. I liked the, like, you know, the narrative of it and all that sort of stuff too. So,
is it a sci-fi themed game or a horror themed game?
It's sci-fi, right?
Sci-fi horror? Is that allowed?
Brian and I were arguing whether Aliens was a horror movie or a sci-fi movie the other day.
Not really arguing. We were just talking about it.
Why is your eye black?
Nice. Brian, what's your number 10?
Speaking of black, I guess this game, I haven't played enough games, so Larry's yelling at me already. This was my top game from Gen Con. It's Black Angel from Pearl Games and Asmodee and all that sort of stuff. So I know I just played this again recently, and it's, I don't know how long it'll be there. Like, it feels like I want to play Twa again and see how that comparison is. But, you know, I had fun with, like, I don't know if I've liked it all the way through as much. Like it's got a weird end game, and I think getting used to that is, it takes some adjustment and just kind of like figuring out how to play it a different way than I wanted to going in, you know. And it's one that I'm not sure, like, it could rise or fall, but I guess it's my 10 right now.
Yeah, I would really argue that's not Twa in space. Yeah. Like, it's like based on a thought process related to Twa and the same designers, but like, just there's so much different. Like, Twa, you roll full-on D6s,
right,
and then you purchase them from each other for a high cost. This one's like, you roll D3s, and then it's like, I guess I'll buy your die, and then you'll buy my die, and it's a wash.
And I would agree with you. I think we live in a world right now where anytime a designer comes out with a game and has maybe one mechanic or some similarity, a lot of people kind of jump to the, you know, and that's how it was described when we first picked it up. And that was my game at Gen Con 2. That's that game for me that, after my top five, it was one of those really good games that could have fit 6 to 25, right? Black Angel's in that 6 to 25.
Even after you said that
it's just not in my top 10 right now.
Did you play it again since Gen Con?
I've tried. I've got it to the table almost, and then I had a fifth player, so we couldn't put it, but I had set it up, looked through the rules again, kind of, you know, and I said, oh, I can tell I like it, but I don't know that it rose to the, I didn't play it enough because it just wasn't grabbing me enough, but I do want to play it more. To see if it works its way, where it finds itself.
The teach has felt kind of tough on it. Like, it feels like there's a lot that you have to do to, like, get people to play something that's relatively simple, like, in what you're actually doing. But just kind of the, like, it just feels like there's a huge barrier initially, and then once you get going, it flows pretty smoothly. And then you just have to be mindful of how a game could end. So, but, yeah, that's Black Angel.
Nice. Well, my number 10, I'm going to talk about, but we only have 15 minutes left until the Earth is going to explode. And so my number 10 game is We're Doomed. We're Doomed is from Breaking Games, and it is, I guess, a party game is the best way to describe it. It is quite unique in its approach. So it hit my number 10 spot. It was my favorite game of Gen Con. Because it works with most groups, and it hasn't died with any groups, but I've definitely played games with groups that were like, okay, that was it, and they weren't really into doing that. To me, the key with that game is you're flipping over these cards, you're reading these random cards, and I said, like, if they can hit that magic number of, like, about 7 out of every 10 cards are good, people will forget the 3 cards that were stupid things. And it's pretty close to that. But what's good and what's not good is a little bit different for certain people. So, but man, the groups, like, at the store here, we played, I mean, 3 times in a row at Gen Con. It was like everybody was all in, right? It was so much fun.
I mean, I think that is a great game. But to your point, the group definitely, the type of group you have adds or subtracts, right? The game alone, unlike a heavy Euro, stands not fully on its own, right?
Yeah.
There is some, you know, the group dichotomy that kind of plays into how well that game. To your point, you haven't seen it fall flat, but I bet you in some groups it could fall flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not a knock in the game. It's just a party-style game that I think the group matters. But I loved it. I think that's a great game.
I love that game. I had so much fun with that game. I always have high hopes. And if it doesn't work for a group, again, like I said, nobody goes like, that was horrible. Don't ever make me play it again. They're just kind of like, I guess, but the group said it's good. It's just so memorable. It's so memorable. I mean, when we're playing here and Carl is playing and he just pointed like What's your name? I don't even know your name, right? They don't even know that. But you, I'm voting for you. Or just the amazing moments where you have to unanimously make a vote. Like, it's just so smart about trying to get you to do ridiculous things you would never want to do.
The first play where we're like, wait, let's just all put resources in every
right,
turn.
It's just gonna work
and
a
this
lot.
Will work. And then on the first card flip, we realize what kind of game it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're like, oh, we can't all get on this shit. Yeah. Never mind. That changed.
It just flipped on a dime. It was perfect. It beat us. So that's my number 10 game. We're doomed.
Well, this was great. Sorry, before you pointed to Larry already, but no, this has been great that you guys have been talking this one up, because I think from our perspective as a store, I don't think it's one that I would have necessarily known to like go heavy on for the holiday season and you know all throughout. So it was one that we brought in a good amount of copies, like more than we normally would have, and we sold through.
Nice.
And you know it's one that's just kind of. It's a great one to just get for larger groups, and people seem like it's an awesome price point too.
Yeah.
So it works, and it's been great this year, especially for like, you know, for just people picking it up on the whim.
Yeah, I'm intrigued if they'll make like a second deck. You'd think that would be a no-brainer, right. Like a second deck for $10, but I wonder if the development is worth their time.
It'd be really cool, and if you're listening, those people who designed We're Doomed, is make a separate game that's doing something else while We're Doomed, right? And kind of make two games going that kind of play off each other. Like,
oh my God.
Like we're building a spaceship to try to do something else while someone else is trying to, like, tunnel to the center of the Earth or do some right, whatever. And that would be cool, like, to kind of play off each other, but... So you're making me go again. At some point, you know, I'm going to want to change the order up, but I'll go again. That's fine.
We could skip past you.
No, that's all right. Because I really like my number 9. My number 9 is definitely in my top 10. It's not one of those ones that's going to go to 25, oh, wow. But it might even should be higher. But my number 9 game can play it solo, can play it with people cooperatively, and can play it with people competitively. Component quality is great without minis, and that is Cloud Spire.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed Cloud Spire. It brought me back to that Too Many Bones feel with a slightly different take. I've played it about 5 or 6 times, and each time I did something different, found something different. I haven't even gotten into the campaign or story mode. It gets confusing in today's world with campaign games and legacy games and what's what, but I'm pretty sure Cloud Spire would be considered a campaign that you could play at any point or follow the
legacy.
Story. It's definitely not legacy, but... really enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to play it, but it's worth playing.
I attempted to learn it cooperatively with Jason Perez, and it was a nightmare. And it was so – the co-op really basically expects that you understand the game. So it feels like you have to play it competitively the first time, then possibly go play solo, then play cooperative. So I feel like we did it in, like, the wrong order.
Probably, yeah. I did it solo, then competitively, then cooperatively.
I tried solo.
That was the order I happened to.
I tried solo, and the first one I had, like, heroes that just wandered around unable to do anything except take damage and die. And when one dies, you lose. So I think I didn't understand the rules, so I'm still kind of trying to get the rules. I mean, they seem very basic once you know, but it's those little gotchas, those little extra abilities, and
right. What's
the goal of this unit? Like, the ones that are running at each other, it's obvious. Just run at each other. But trying to figure out those goals and whatnot, it's really important. So I will get that played and reviewed.
And that is Chip Theory.
Yeah, Chip Theory Games.
All right.
We actually just finished up playing this game. This is my number 9. Paladins of the West, is it Western or West? It's West Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, this one's great. I'm glad we just got it to the table again. I think it was one that was kind of jockeying for position. And, like, it has felt like there's, I don't know. I guess it does guide you. So it feels like there are different things that you can try to focus on from game to game. And it's one of the heavier ones. Like, you're trying to figure out a pattern or, like, a way to kind of play through. And... There's a good amount to it, and I think it's one that's potentially going to increase in, I don't know, with more plays. And I feel like it should get to the table a little bit more often, too. So, yeah, Paladins of the West Kingdom.
Yeah, it's one of those classic, like I think of Underwater Cities and some of these other ones where, like a Great Western Trail or Great Western Trail, no, it wouldn't be in that category. But, like, I could just play it with 2 or 3. Like, I don't need 4 or 5. Like, it plays great at 2. And that's awesome to know when you have these, like, Euro games where there isn't a lot of interaction, so we can just play it at 2, you know, and that could be a fun night, so.
Yeah, if everyone's, like, on the, like, I feel like with with the three of us, like, just playing now, like, it went really quickly relative to other games that I've played of it.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was at the right pace with that, you know.
I really, is that Shem?
Yeah, Shem.
Yeah, so, because I was kind of one of the first on his bandwagon back with
You Raiders were, actually. You set that game up at your house.
Raiders
and Brian and
North
I played
State.
It, and we both kind of just shrugged.
Yeah, right. And the other two in that series weren't nearly as good as Raiders.
No.
But Paladins is the only one I've played in the new trio, which there's only two of the three out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really liked it. I'll talk about it maybe later on.
And Raiders did such a good job in that the expansions are seamless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's just more stuff, but you know what to do. By the time you know that game, you know
what
to do.
It's not overwhelming. Their expansions for Raiders
The only issue is fitting it all in the box. The boxes are too small.
I don't know why they do that.
All right, my number nine, I'm going to guess, is not on either of your lists. And so this is a game from Pureland Spiel. We played a bunch this year, and it's Magna Storm. Really like Magna Storm. Magna Storm is not what you would think. You would look at it, and it's you're on this planet, and there's a magnetic field, and you're trying to stay away from it and drop all these things, and you'd think it's trying to have theme, and there's really not a lot of theme. I mean, there's enough that you understand the magnetic storm is keeping you to half the board, and you think it's going to be a long, kind of drawn-out Euro, and it's a racing Euro. You're racing to victory points, and you can gain and lose victory points. And you're just trying to hope that you get enough of a sweep that you get up to the threshold to end the game to just kind of be on the top of your game, because everybody could pull you back if they want to. So there's actually a lot of interaction, but not so negative. Like, you know everybody's trying to take those points from you. And even by gaining one of those leaders, you get 2 points and you lose one. So it still gave you points overall. I love the game. I mean, it basically is you take an action that has three branching choices every time. So am I going to do this or this? Then once I pick one of those, this or this. Once I pick one of those, this or this. But that basically, as you're working your way through that tree, you've got like 16 different options that you can do. It's awesome. It's just so good. I like that game so much. So that's Magna Storm from Pureland Spiel and Capstone in North America. Number eight.
Paladins of the West Kingdom.
Oh!
So we just talked about it. Again, great game. To Brian's point, it's one of the few games this year that I played that I think came close to melting my brain. Right? Like, it just, you think, I don't like to play slow. I like to play fast. And that game, I found myself stopping and thinking more so than many games. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it reminds me with Terra Mystica and Gaia Project, how, like, there's not a lot of interaction till suddenly there is over those cards that come out. It's like, oh, I got to be first.
And sometimes, not even the cards, though, sometimes the spaces you want to take, right? Like, when you're going to claim a space, and then, like, claiming that space makes a big difference for what I want to do next turn. And if you claim it, that could throw off a whole turn for what you were planning. So I like it.
Nice. So my next one is Res Arcana. I know I haven't played it a ton, but it's... Do you like that game?
I don't think it's a top 10 game?
Oh,
this year.
Man.
Oh,
that's
man.
Really good.
And there's an expansion coming soon.
Maybe
so
that'll fix it.
We'll get this out of here. You don't need that. Yeah, I guess Larry disagrees, but Res Arcana is a great game. I need to play it more often, but... I feel like it works really well at two, and it just needs to get back to the table. So
yeah, it's a great game. That's Tom Lehman, and that's Sandcastle Games.
Yeah, I mean, Asmodee is the one that's kind of selling it.
Yeah, that's the only game Sandcastle Games make, so I don't know.
Okay.
Well, they have an expansion now for that game.
So they've got two games, right?
There you go. Nice. And my number eight, I found out recently, you guys would highly contest me on this, but I absolutely love the card drafting game from Stronghold, Amul. I think that's a great card drafting game.
The one where you draft the face-down cards, the face-up cards?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that game. That game's great.
Top 10? Top 25?
Top 25. It takes out Seven Wonders.
That's better than Res Arcana?
Oh, God.
Is it better than It's a Wonderful World?
Yes.
Oh, so the last time when we played It's a Wonderful World, you told me you liked that better than Amul.
No, I must have thought Amul was something else. No, I like that Amul game.
Yeah, well, and I guess I'm the odd one out, but that's fine.
Yeah. But Amul's just a cool, I think it plays like 3-8 or something like that. It's just a, it's just not, again, when you say Seven Wonders, it's easy to get people to think about, okay, it's a strategy card drafting game. But then at the same time, you're keeping all the cards in your hand or your tableau, and then you just ditch your whole hand at the end of the game and get to score for all those. So it's just very like, what do I want to keep? How am I going to react to other people, but not too much? It's pretty satisfying at the end. Like, you get all these things to trigger and
it's not the game I thought. Though it is pretty good.
Are you saying...
Amul is not... I want the other drafting game where you draft from the disc...
Hadara.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That one's better.
Hadara is my... It's a wonderful. Better than Amul and a wonderful, right?
Yeah, that's
But
fine.
I like a wonderful better than Amul. Sorry.
Right, thank
I
you.
I got confused with what Amul
and
was.
I'm Amul, Hadara, and then there's this other game.
Have you felt like it always feels like they're really close? And this is the same, like, where, like, Amul just feels like it's kind of, whatever you do is getting, like, about the same amount of points. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
moment
more
you
separation
try to
in Hadara, I feel like.
Right. Well, yeah, Hadara's got a little more of that engine
build.
Yeah, I guess what I like in Amul is that
your hand, I knew I was thinking of the
you're trying to read some of the things, like what trinkets will come out, how many camels are going to come out. How many symbols are going to come out, which that is the worst part of the game, is trying to read the symbols in a seven-player game. How many of these symbols do you have? How many of these symbols? That's a tricky element, but
it's not a bad
game,
for sure.
I would say it's the eighth best game this year.
I would say Hadar is better.
Would
number
you say
seven.
That's top 25? Oh, are we?
I really like
you
my
can't
number
just
seven. I want to save
right.
my number
AG
seven.
AG has put out a few really great games this year, and Tiny Towns has been consistently getting to the table for me. It's just, it's so easy to get out and play, and I really like the choices with Tiny Town. So this was one that we loaded up a lot on, and we sold, like, we're down to, maybe we got a copy left?
30.
So I think AEG has a great game here. Another one with an expansion coming, so that
See, and
says
AEG,
something.
Like, to me, is the perfect example of what Brant said earlier, how this year was a year of a lot of really good games.
Right.
And to me, AEG did that because I don't know. I love Tiny Towns.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it more or less than Ecos, right? Because I really liked Ecos, right? And there's a few
other
games.
I would say Point Salad's better than both
and,
of them.
And I like Point, right? I
Which
just
might
taught,
be higher on people's
I just taught my wife Point Salad. She brought it to school today to work. So just AEG, I think you're right, is just putting out a lot. Maybe nothing exceptional,
right?
But I think very good games. And I think all three of the AEG games I played this year would fall in my top 25.
You played a fourth.
Which
Edge of
fourth.
Darkness.
Yeah, that one I don't know if falls in my top 25.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
I have to
it's
play
asking
it again
you to
the
play
right
over
way.
And over again.
Walking
in
Brown.
And then we added in, oh, I really like Walking Brown.
S-E-A-G's
the Barricades
really
expansion for Thunderstone Quest was this year.
Oh, well, so if you count Thunderstone, that big box Thunderstone Quest
yeah,
this year.
Which it wouldn't, but the Barricades was this
like,
year. The
yeah.
solo
that's
cooperative one.
20 for
that's really fun,
15.
But that's hard to get out. That's really, it's like a Race for the Galaxy where I want people who know to play it or just teach a couple people and just play with them regularly as opposed to let me go around teaching this game and carrying this giant box of stuff.
I wish Marvel Legendary was Thunderstone Quest.
Yeah.
That
yeah, that's
make
true.
Me very happy.
Yeah, that would have been impressive.
Because I remember way back when I was into Marvel Legendary Heavy, they'd always compare it to this Thunderstone Quest game, and I'm like, oh, what's that garbage, right? And then when I finally got the big boxes and played it, I'm like, wow, this is an amazing game.
Yeah, it's good. Wow. All right, my number seven is, we played this at Gen Con. I picked this up there. I had actually played at Dice Tower Con prior to that. This is a game from Portal Games, Imperial Settlers, Empires of the North. So I played this. I had the expansion with the two other factions, which I believe gives me 8 total factions. Really good. They feel totally different. If you can throw asymmetry at me, I'm probably going to put your game high up on the list. I think that's my favorite mechanism, if you want to call it that, in a game. And I just love playing through all the different decks. I generally like playing it solo. I prefer to play with like 2 players. But this one cruises pretty fast. The take that is pretty low. It is weird that it's like that classic kind of thing that you wouldn't think you'd like, which is like, I'm going to turn this card over and get an apple. Your turn. I'm going to turn this card and get a stick. I'm going to turn this card and gain a victory point. And it's back to me. I'm going to turn this card, spend an apple. Like, it's so fast. But you're trying to puzzle out what things you want to do in what order. And it's a really solid, fun game. Kathy and I have had a blast with this. Imperial Settlers, Empires of the North, the best of all of those games in my mind.
What about the Rollin' Right?
From Portal. There's a Rollin' Right that came out this year? from Portal Games, which is our namesake. So
that made my top 25. I guess I'm spoiling some, right? Now you've ruled out that game's not in my top.
Well, you said top 25 could be.
Yeah, it'd be your number one.
Top 10.
It didn't make my top 10, but it made my top 20.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, sorry. But.
All right. My number 7.
Is your favorite game of the year.
No, but it's this is a good number 7.
Definitely like, top 10.
This is awesome. I love this game. We know the designers. They come to the store and help us out. Kapow. It's Carl, Larry, and
Doug.
Great guys. I like dice games. I like Dice Throne, don't get me wrong. But something about Kapow with the, you know, kind of roll on your side, kind of outthink your opponent where you're going to place, whether you're going to defend, do some special actions or attack, kind of playing with your health as you know, who goes first. Love it. I know they've kind of partnered with a new company, I think White Wizard Games, and they're going to look to get more stuff going with that. But I think I played it 20 times, and I mean, for me to get a game to the table 20 times is, you know, impressive. And everybody I've played it with and taught it with has loved it. And it even brought out that multiplayer component where you could play 2-on-2 or you could play with that, I want to say Samuel L. Jackson, but it's what, Sawmill Jackson as the villain. And it's just great. I know you guys have at least played it once.
Yeah.
I played it more than once.
Dice guys. Yeah. But, and it's one thing I didn't say, which I think is what wins for me, is it's dice building.
Yeah, buildable
right?
dice.
So buildable dice is huge. That's what kind of takes this game over the top for me, is that buildable dice aspect. So
yeah,
that is my number 7, Kapow.
Nice. I just haven't played that enough, but it was on the short list.
Yeah, so. definitely.
All right. So my number 7. You want to go again?
Yeah, I'll go.
Just keep
going.
No,
I don't want to go in a row. Never mind. I just felt bad making you go first again. Try to add some entertainment.
So my next one is from Stronghold. It's just it's a roll and write. Doppel, so clever. So twice as clever. It's just, that one's been great to play with Rachel. So I've had two games that haven't scoffed at.
I'm sorry, I'm just making faces at Brian just to stress
it felt half as clever as me as the original one.
That was,
you guys are
three
wrong.
Quarters. I don't know that it was twice.
Well.
I think they went a little too far with that.
I really like this game, no matter what you guys say. And
I don't dislike it. I enjoyed it. I, unlike Brant, went heavy into roll and rights this year, not just one roll and right.
Yeah, this was the best roll and right of the year for me.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You know what? And maybe. But I will say, does Welcome To count as this year's?
No.
I don't think
so.
Okay, it was at Gen Con 2 years ago.
All right, because I finally taught my wife and the kids, and we've actually played it like 5-6 times in the last few days because all of a sudden they like it. And
did she take that to school?
No, that was too complicated for her kids. But no, I just, there was a lot of rolling rights in the last year and a half, and I don't know that twice as clever was twice as good as some of the others. But I did like it. I mean, I played it like 15 times. So that's saying something.
So
it's all because I couldn't get a good score. I had to keep playing.
What are we on, number 6?
Yeah.
So in BGG, my game is technically a 2018, but I got no whiffs of it at all until Dice Tower Con.
This is a new scratch and then, save game.
And then I got a copy from Pegasus Spiel at Gen Con. Okay. And, man, do I love this game, and it is dry as all get out. This is my year of dry Euros, Crown of Amara. So it's the same designer as Hadara, but I like this one much better than Hadara. So Crown of Amara is just, you're going around dual rondelles, and you're gathering resources, and then you're spending them to turn them in for victory points. I mean, it doesn't try to shy away from that at all. But the card play is what's so clever. You have 9 cards, you draw 3, and then you pick the order you play them, and you get to move around 1, 2, or 3 spaces on the rondelle and do the bonuses.
There's 2 rondelles, right?
I think
that also adds a little. It's a good game. It's in the
And I've never played the advanced mode, which is you don't have a deck of cards. You have all 9, and then you pick the order you play them every time.
Oh, really?
But they warn you to play that in 2-player and only like if you know the game, because the AP on that.
Yeah.
Is huge because
it's just play all 9.
I mean, essentially, you could argue it's just 27 choices just to decide which card and which slot because you got 9 times 3. And after that, then you've got all the options you could do on the board. So, I mean, it's just you're gonna have 100 options every turn. Even your last turn, you're gonna have several options. So they highly suggest that. But yeah, that's my number six, Crown of Amara from Pegasus Spiel.
Nice.
My number six, which I right now predict will exist on both of your lists higher than mine, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong because it just does not pronounce well, but that is Maracaibo. I did it right?
Yeah.
Capstone Games.
Yep. And Frosted Games.
And Frosted Games. I loved it. Our first play, well, it's a funny story. So the first attempted play, Brian and I, because I really wanted to play this game, and I think Brian did too, we sit down at PAX with this guy who's going to teach us, right? And he was clueless. He's starting to read the rule book. Brian's looking at me. I don't know if you remember this. Looking at
I
you.
I thought this was the other one, Rise yeah, of this Tribes was not, or whatever.
It wasn't Mario. You sure?
Tribes, Rise yeah. of
Are
Kingdoms.
You talking when we sat down with the two people?
And we got
and
up.
And they were trying to. That was. That's not.
Oh, that wasn't. I thought that was this.
I would not have played Maracaibo. If
that is the worst anyways, feeling when somebody else is reading the rule. At least if it's me.
Yeah,
right. I feel like I have a no offense. I'm not trying to ditch anybody. Well, at least I know where I'm at if it's me, right. And but I don't know where somebody else is at.
But we did then get a very good teach at PAX from that
America,
the guy,
not
yeah,
the two,
right?
But like, yeah, that's the same. Like we're used to your
teach, right?
Your and like your go from here to here to here. To, like it didn't feel like
this
we were
poor guy stayed on one paragraph in the rule book for about 7 minutes, and I'm looking at Brian like, how do we get out of this? But
we sat down. Yeah, Maracaibo. There was someone that had just played. He was like packing up to go. And then we like sat down. And he's like, "Oh, I could teach. Oh, maybe I'll just hop in and play again." And it was like,
and I
read
that first play. I really was like, "Oh, this game. Now it's heavy. It's I won't say it's not easy.
It's a card
to get,
game.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not that it's not easy to get minis? To the table, but it definitely takes.
It does need minis.
It does take some time to get to the table. But I really liked it. I mean, it's another one of those ones where you can't do everything. And like the first time Brian and I played. I think I went real heavy on the exploring adventure track at the bottom, and I did well, but I didn't win. And it was like, okay, what can I do different next time? Then next time I tried military, and that worked out well in the game I played. Just really like it. I want to play it a few more times, try some different strategies. I'm curious to try the campaign story,
it's
whatever
just so
you want
simple.
To call
it. You just lay tiles on spaces that now say, when you go here, you can drop off one of your upgrade cubes. And
but
when you fill up all the
story
spaces,
behind it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a pirate chasing this lady.
But that's a cool little
like and then you go
well,
here,
be a very
and it
dry,
drops stuff
boring
off.
Euro game that at least adds a little bit of theme
and
story. And
then the end of that
it.
Round where you've achieved it as a team, you flip it over and you get a new story card, and people might get a bonus or something. Like, you get three coins.
If this came out at so Gen simple. Con or sooner, it probably would have been higher on my list because I would have played it much more. But
it would have been a fun one to have at Gen Con for sure.
Yeah, I only think I played it two or three times, but had it come out sooner in the year, I think I would have played it more and it would have moved. Crap, that's a game I missed.
Is it not Terraforming the Caribbean?
No, I don't think so at
like,
all.
Like, is it just Terraforming Mars, but you move around a rondelle? Like,
I don't think so.
Because you play all these cards and upgrade your tableau? Nope, everyone's saying no. All right, because you don't have the resources to spend.
And while I'm on Capstone with Maracaibo, I feel bad that I did not. I loved Watergate. That's on my short list. Yeah. I actually forgot about that while I was making this list, sadly. I apologize, but that was a solid game.
Yeah, that's a great game, and I taught it
I wasn't invited
so
to
many
the extended
times.
Top 10, so I feel like I got to throw a few out there now while I have an opportunity.
I taught Watergate for 12 hours at Gen Con, and I still like the game, so that tells you it's pretty good.
So, moving up. Yeah, my
five, or
number,
you're on six.
What is it?
We don't care
five.
About your six. Wait, did you
no,
do your
yeah,
six?
Yeah, I did my six.
Should I bring it start once? I mean, you and I have been starting all of them.
Well, you already
well,
started
you did three,
this.
And then he'll do three, and then I'll do three
and
starting.
And then we'll roll a die over
and
the
then
last
you'll go
where
back
was that?
For the
that
last
was six.
One. No, loan a die.
So where are we going now?
Number six. Number five.
Me?
Number five to Brian.
Number right. five,
so,
Brian.
My number five is from Capstone Games and Frosted Games. So Maracaibo is,
oh,
is
I thought
my
you
number
say Watergate.
Five. No, yeah. I thought about that one, though. That one didn't make my top ten. But, yeah, Maracaibo, all the same stuff. Like, it just has a great flow to it, especially once you've played it. Like, once you've gotten past that first play, I feel like you have, you know, a better footing on what you're doing. The tough thing is going to be that comparison between Great Western Trail, and I think that's kind of where it needs to be played a few more times to kind of see where it ranks, because it's probably lower than it should be because Great Western Trail exists for me. So, because Great Western Trail has just been very consistent and really like an amazing game. So I'm just trying to see, like, it's just that's kind of where it's competing more than against the other games for this year, past year. So,
and to your point, I think I need to. I haven't played Great Western Trail since you and I played it twice in a row
with Gary.
Had a lot of fun with Gary.
Oh, happy birthday, Gary!
But I think I want to play it like same week. You know, I want to play
same
it
day.
I'd love same day, but that'd be hard to do. I mean, that's probably 5 hours of those two games. But I think you're spot on with that game, Brian.
All right.
Brant's going to be spot off with his next one.
My number five is number five, right?
Yes.
My number five is a game that cannot be matched except by the four games that I put above it. And that is Unmatched from Restoration Games. I got to play this at Dice Tower Con, and it was awesome. And at the Dice Tower Awards, I said how this is such a great two-player game coming out. Man, I got roasted for bringing it up. I was giving away the best two-player game of the year award, and they did not want me to talk about another one. But man, it's just so good. I played Funkoverse last night, and Funkoverse is fun, and it's cool that it has all these little Funko Pops, but like, it's just not nearly the game that Unmatched is in terms of strategy. There's just a... I don't know. It's like, I don't even actually think I care anymore if a lot more comes out. It's not like I don't want any more to come out, but it feels like if I suddenly had like 60 characters, it would just be silly. It would be like a tub, you know? It would be hard, but whatever. They're going to bring out Raptors and T-Rexes.
Yeah, I'm in a tough spot only because I, to your point, though, I've played
so much of the expansion stuff. Yeah.
Because some of our friends have it, and we played it extensively, and it just, as great as the game was prior, once I played, like, T-Rex versus Bruce Lee and Raptors and the Invisible Man, it was just, I was like...
All that stuff's out there, that's good. I don't have to edit that out.
So to you, it's a 2020 game.
No, but I will plug one thing for Unmatched, because you don't want too many characters.
Hold on, wait. Are you going to say a character that the people don't know about yet?
No, I'm going to say a character that I keep asking for.
Oh, gotcha.
That I've written, I can't tell you how many times in their booths I've written, add this character, and I've even told Rob Davio, please get Clint Eastwood in this game.
Yeah.
I need a version of Clint Eastwood in this game.
Yeah. No, it's just great with the card play. And it just took me back because I have.
Epic Duels.
And I played it a ton. Just haven't played it recently. And it just took me back to that and how fun that game is. This one's a little more like reasonable, because in that one you could do like 9 damage and the person would say, I'm not going to block, and they're just dead. So this one brought that power down a little bit, but it makes it a little bit more, you have to move around, it takes a little more time, but yeah, it's a great game.
Will this episode be out before Saturday?
No.
Okay.
What's Saturday?
So we will have already hung out with Restoration Games.
At the library. They're coming down.
Rob and Lindsay are coming down to Jen's library club to do a bunch of games. So maybe Dark Tower?
That's maybe, yeah.
Oh, I got to play.
Sorry that you missed it if you didn't know about it, but...
Yeah.
Check out next month's Soap City Library.
I'll probably make it slightly after that, but we'll see. So
my five, I think Brant's going to yell at me and tell me this is not a 2019 game, but that's okay. I love this game. This was one that I played early in the year and have not gotten back to the table, but will be again playing it this year. It's one of the few games that I really feel bad when I play because I am mean.
He's Sam Healing this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea.
That's not a 2019 game.
You said I can count
I'm just kidding.
I loved it. I mean, I've played it with a lot of different groups. I've kind of curbed my evilness in a few games. In a few games, I've been a real jerk. But it's the game. I mean, it's just you're playing a game where you're fighting each other and maybe eliminating a player and... You don't fulfill the game if you don't play it that way. And I think I need to play it more with people that have played it so that everyone plays that way. Because I think too many people in their first play try to play it very like, oh, I'm a nice guy. I'm just going to, but then you don't really get the feel. But I think this game really has a lot of leg to it. It's hard to get to the table. It's big. There's a lot to it. So it's probably not as popular, but I think it just does a great job of that.
So it really did kickstart in 2017, but it didn't go retail until 2019. So that's where I told Larry, hey, if it's one of the best games you played this year, just talk about it.
Did it go to backers in 2018? Is that where?
2017.
Oh, 2017 backers got it.
Yeah, and then they did
the
expansion.
But they didn't all get it, though, right? Or something that, weird.
And then it didn't go to retail. Then they did the expansion, and they did a new Kickstarter, updated the rules to second edition in 2018, which fulfilled in 2019 with a retail release.
So, Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, second edition.
Yeah, there you go.
It's my 2019.
That opens it up to everything, though.
Now, have you, I know Brian's played it because I played it with him, Brian. Have you actually got to play it?
Yeah, I had fun. I mean, I could see, like, no.
It's not his style. I get it.
Like, I'd play it again. Like, it's just one of those things that makes more sense for a bigger event and, like, just kind of being ready to.
24-hour event.
Yeah,
just knowing what you're getting into as well, like, you know, because it can be very, you know, like very brutal if you're just not. Right. If you leave yourself open, it can be rough. And I think the part of the tough thing is like you're gonna have players at different levels of this game too, and it could be very easily like one person just takes advantage of someone else that isn't.
Yeah, and it's such an unfair. I mean, I feel like you take Maracaibo and some of these heavy Euros when you take an experienced player with a rookie player, no one feels too bad because it's just a victory point game. Like, oh, I beat you by 50, no big deal. You were learning the game. But when you take
I crushed you on round two.
Right, when you play a game like that where you're fighting and disabling people to some extent, that's where the player level is much more drastic. And that's why I'd love to get this back to the table with people that know how to play and see what it feels like with a bunch of experienced players.
I don't mind the player elimination, and in fact, in the game we played in the 24-hour event where I believe you eliminated three players, two of those players were the top points in the game. So it made perfect sense. I think one of the players was the person who was like a child, I believe. No, I'm kidding.
No,
a six-year-old that was just glad they were. No, I'm just kidding. But the other person I don't think was going to then win, but it made sense at least, and in the final like round or two. The things that are a little bit of a drawback, those exploration tokens are just so incredibly random.
Yes.
They're very good to very bad to almost destructive. They seem like at times. So I'd almost be willing to just kind of curb that.
Yeah,
like, let's take out the really good ones and the really bad ones, just kind of stick with standard ones. Or just make them all good and everybody knows so you want to explore.
Just put all the bad ones around Larry.
And then the other issue was when we played the first game, which was either six or seven players, it just felt maddening, like, to end the game and then finish that round and then play another whole round. In all the other games I played, the one round doesn't feel that bad. In fact, in two-player, it makes so much sense. But in that first six-player game, it was like 4 hours to that point and then another hour and 15 minutes to finish the round and play the next round. It just felt like too much. Like, I wanted it to just cut it off.
Did you win that game?
Yeah.
And was that also everyone's first play, though, or other than Gary, who was teaching you guys?
Yeah, probably four of us.
I don't know that six-player is the best
way
to play it first time for that.
I'm surprised how good it plays at two. People said, don't play it at two. It's not fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Kathy and I had a lot of fun playing it at two. It's a lot more Euro, and again, to your point, you could just go after each other, but there isn't really a point. Like, unless, okay, you're beating me by 30, so I'm just going to come in with my force. But other than that, I'm not like, oh, let me see if I can end it on round three by taking out. It just doesn't feel like the point.
I think it's one of those things is as you're building up, especially in a two-player game, if someone leaves themselves vulnerable,
you take
advantage. Yeah. But otherwise, if you're both playing equally, I don't think in a two-player game you'd see player elimination.
Cool. So now we skip to me for number four?
Apparently.
All right. Number four has been talked about. Just played it. Paladins of the West Kingdom from Garfield Games. Really good. Really like this game. I really enjoy it. Yeah. Like you said, the last game we just played, you doubled up my points. Mm. But the pace was just such that I'm just having fun figuring out my own. I had no idea that you were doing. I felt like you did particularly well.
Right.
Not that I did particularly poor.
Yeah.
So that's just an element of it, which, you know, I guess in the long run, I've knocked a lot of games this year for getting my score doubled up and tripled up. So, you know, I'll eat my own words about being that, but I just had fun doing this again. I always go back to Dominion. I have a blast playing Dominion, building my deck. And then at the end of the game, I'm like, you scored 70 and I scored 20. I had fun making my deck. I never thought about how many points did you score versus me, which the more you play it, you track the provinces and you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
My number four. I might have made a mistake and put another 2018, but we'll see. But I thought you said
Brant's already got two.
Axis and Allies.
But I love this game, and this is where I think for me maybe five, but definitely four down is where I said this year I thought there was some exceptional games, and that's Wingspan.
No, this is a 2019 game.
It is.
This is like highly favored to be game of the year. Yeah,
okay, so I'm not far off. So when we said there was
You ordered it in the beginning of January, right, and it came in February.
Okay. It was designed before 2019.
Okay, cool. So for me, like when we talked about 2019 being the game of a lot of good games, but this is from four down for me is where we kind of separate, and Wingspan is amazing. Like, it's one of those games, I mean, I don't need to describe it. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this knows Wingspan or at least has heard about it. But one of the things, I mean, this is like a minor thing, the eggs. I love my eggs. And people I play with get mad because I want all the same color eggs. So I will literally...
Do you have purple eggs now?
Yes. Okay. I will take people's eggs off their board and swap them so I can have all the same color eggs. It drives people... But I just love it. And I actually went out and bought birds, so I have bird tokens instead.
Wait, hold on. Bird tokens or birds?
Yeah, bird tokens. Then my next purchase will be the nest. They do have a nest to put the eggs in.
I can get you a nest for free.
I know. This one's a little
come
nicer.
Come spring.
But, and a bird.
I do. I love it. I think it looks pretty... It plays great. It's not overly complicated. It's not overly long. Boom, boom, boom. Get through the game. I anticipate you guys having this and talking about it, so I won't go too long. But I love Wingspan. My number four.
I just saw Elizabeth Hargrave, the designer, posted a thing where her dad found an old either newspaper that he just collected or that he used to write for, and it was called the Wingspan newspaper. I thought that was like super... coincidental. She didn't take the name from that, but it was called Wingspan. It was just neat that kind of happened. Nice. So,
but all right, my number four is one that Brant apparently missed, right? Taverns of Tiefenthal, and this was great. Like, it was one that I think after the first play, it kind of felt similar to me. Like Coimbra from the previous year was kind of like one play felt like it might just be, you know, just the same over and over again, but I think after a few, like, I've played it more times, and it seems like it gives you some, like, a good variety to kind of go down, and I think it's grown on me just with the potential that it's got, and it's, you can try different things and get to, like, you know, get to where you're trying to go different ways. So that's Taverns of Tiefenthal, that's my number four.
I found this game really fun to teach. Like, it's just fun to get people to figure it out and teach, and oh, these puzzle pieces flip over, and that element like really game. Draws me in. It's really fun to teach.
It was on my
You're not
list.
Upset that no, I put no, that on there. This time solid. It's fine.
It's a very solid.
We're down to number three?
Yeah.
We're in the top three now. Top this is where three. The rubber meets the road, man.
So let's number go. Three is one of those games that could possibly replace another game. So it's Alexander Pfister Maracaibo, and it is that question. I even like Mombasa better than Great Western Trail. Mm-hmm. I think Great Western Trail really opens itself up more to multiple plays. Mombasa isn't necessarily as replayable. It doesn't have like the different three paths to branch down. And I'm intrigued. The last time I played with you, you did kind of like an income strategy, and that worked really well. And then I didn't, not even trying to do that, but that like explore income strategy, and it was really strong. Kathy did an amazing, like, villager strategy where she was scoring 20 points a round off of villagers, and I still overcame that with income. And to me, that was a little like, oh, no, maybe that's not good. Like, maybe there's no other strategy that beats the income one, but I want to see. And we are playing through that campaign, whatever you want to call it. We played, like, three games, I think, of it. It's just a no-brainer to throw in. I wouldn't even mind being like, oh, by the way, we're on page story four. Here's what happened previously. Let's keep playing. Like, the story is not earth-shaking. This is no, you know, this is a Rise of Skywalker, not an endgame nice. Kind of thing. So, but that's my number three, Maracaibo from Frosted Games, Capstone Games, Alexander Pfister, who's probably my favorite designer at this point.
Wow. So, you know, now that we're getting deep in the list, we are getting overlap.
Yeah.
Right? And so my number three has been mentioned before. And Brant almost had it, but he just mislabeled it, misnumbered it. Number three for me, Unmatched.
Nice.
Awesome game. I think I played it just over 25 times, and I could play it another 25 without batting an eye. Just solid. The card play, especially when you get, like, two advanced players playing with each other and you get to the point where you're like, man, are we going to end this game by deck running out and taking damage versus, like, can we get a kill in? I mean, it's just there's a lot of – and not that I would disagree with what you said, Brant, but I think as more characters come out, to your point, yeah, that's a lot of options, but it's just like a lot of different, like kind of like in a Euro game, there's different paths to take. It's like, man, I've tried King Arthur against this and this, but let me see how he does against something else, or let me try this person against that person.
Yeah, know? I guess I'm just not sitting there going, where are the new ones?
Right, yeah, no, I don't
like
need new
ones. I'm
pretty
happy
right?
playing yeah. with the ones I am and playing at the pace I am, because honestly, I could just play Bruce Lee versus Bigfoot 3 times in a row. Like, let's just see what happens. I'll play him, you play him, we switch, and then loser gets to decide who they want to be for the third, kind of, right? Like, yeah. just play it that way.
And I think, interestingly enough, and I mean, I do want to try to see something happen at the store and work on something, but it lends itself for, like, a nice game night, or I hate to say the word tournament, but it just, it's perfect, right? Like, it just, bring 3 characters, sit down, play the best of 3, move on, play the next person, play the best of 3, and it plays quick enough. Mm-hmm. I really like Unmatched.
You should make a custom Clint Eastwood deck.
No. Listen, Mr. Davio,
if
make
you
me
make
Clint
it,
Eastwood, Justin. It's going to come. Clint Eastwood's coming.
Yeah, I was going to say Justin Jacobson, but yeah, Rob more likely to design. Although Justin designed Bruce Lee.
So
that was my number 3, Unmatched. Great job on that game, Restoration.
All right, next up. So my number 3, we actually got to the table at PAX Unplugged. And that
Yorktown, 1942.
This one's from Czech Games Edition. Letter Jam is my number 3.
I thought you were going to say something.
Why did you move away from me?
Oh, I thought you were going to like.
No,
he's just bad at it. I don't think he dislikes it. I think he's just bad at it. It is so rare to see Larry be bad at a game.
It's not that I'm bad.
No, you're bad at it.
No. Here's my issue. I'm going to be completely honest, and then I'll let Brian talk about this game because it is a great game. However, unlike many other word games, this is not a word game where it's helpful or cool to make hard words.
Yeah.
It's a game where you want to make the simplest word possible so I don't have a million options for my letter that is flipped down.
But
and unfortunately, playing with you guys and Kathy, you guys all thought it was cool to come up with words. I'm like, why would you come up with that word? There was 5 easier words. So it's not that I didn't like
you
the game.
You gave like 3-word clues. And then we would see like what? I don't know.
I think Jemmy is a perfectly simple SAT 2 vocabulary word to you.
I don't think it's a bad game. I don't knock you. It's just that was a tough play. It was late. I did struggle. Did we play twice and I struggled twice?
Probably.
I think we did.
A couple times.
Like top 25 for you?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I guess like this was tough for me to figure out where it did fit in. Like it definitely it feels like way more of an activity like type of game, which is not a bad thing. It's just trying to figure out like how that fits in. And I think it's just, it's gone over well, and I've really had a great time just sitting down playing this one. And, yeah, I think this one will be an easy one to keep bringing back for me and my family and all that stuff. So, yeah, Letter Jam.
Nice. Well, my number 2 game is most likely number 1 on somebody else's list. So I will snap my fingers and we'll move on.
My number 2 is my surprise game of the year. Not that I didn't think it would be good, but it's too good for what I expected. And oddly enough, partly designed by the guy who designed my number 3 game, Rob Davio, Cthulhu Death May Die.
Yeah.
I love big mini games, as you know. I love Cool Mini or Not. But oftentimes their games like are cumbersome, tough to get to the table, can only play once or twice and go, oh, I liked it. I played Cthulhu Death May Die 12 times now, and every time it just gets better. And everyone I've taught it to, I think I've played it with 12 or 13 different people. Everyone has commented how much they liked it. I know Brant and I both love the advancement system. You get crazy, you get closer to losing, but you also get more powerful. Even got an opportunity to play the big mini Cthulhu, which I thought is just going to be stupid, but it was actually a lot of fun and having to like sacrifice a guy to make the head vulnerable.
That was amazing.
I mean, it was just
that was a good moment.
It's just, and I did not expect that game when I ordered it to be anywhere on the top list for me. I just thought, I order everything Cool Mini or Not, so I just whatever. And so that game really surprised me and made it all the way to my number 2. And if not for my number 1 game, would have been my number 1 game of the year.
It was a huge surprise to me. I hate Cthulhu. I try not to say that. I usually just say I just don't understand it. But just after playing so many Cthulhu games and it's not even the Cthulhu theme. I just hate the fact that I never find one and people seem so enthralled with it. And this game was great. I just had so much fun playing this game. You just laugh, you high five, you roll dice exactly the way you want to roll dice. Like, somewhat meaningful with tons of re-rolls. So you just get there, you know, oh, it was great. And you get so powerful in the end. It's unbelievable. And then you die. Which is good.
Did you play it, Brian?
Yeah, I had a fun time.
We played it early on.
Yeah. I wonder, is there a lot of, like, exclusive stuff with it? Like, I mean, the big mini. But you can figure out
too many.
Like, okay.
I really feel like people could live without the big mini. It's a cool one, but it's almost like play it at a convention, play it at a store with somebody.
Right.
If you don't have the big mini, it's not like you can't play the game. Right. You've got like 15 scenarios or something, right?
But again, the ingenuity of how they made it so modular and so easy to set up and easy to take down,
yeah,
and easy to just, hey, you want to play this Elder God and this scenario, boom, done, go. You don't have
and
to go
like
through a box.
It's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
even with that
so
giant
quick
mini, we were done,
yeah,
75 minutes teaching, yeah, new people.
Yeah, no, I love it. Solid game.
Nice. What is it? My number two. So another one from AEG. So this one's a smaller game.
Nope.
But it's just trying to figure out how it fits into the list. But Point Salad is an amazing game, and I think that one just works for so many different groups that I've played it with, and it's easy to bring out. It's easy to just start, like, you know, instead of trying to explain it, it's like, just let's sit down and play, and, you know, people just have a great time with it too. So I knew we'd played it at Gamma, and I think it felt like it would be really good, and then I feel like it just grew from there on me, and it was one that I think we sold out of pretty quickly in the holiday season, and then we're trying to get more back in. We might have just gotten a new shipment of it, but yeah, Point Salad is great.
Great game.
Yeah, it's really good. Although I found it funny that you're supposed to remove cards based on player count. I've just
right,
always shuffled and go.
Yeah.
Which changes your scores, whatever, but it's
adds
just
to them,
who
but
cares?
It doesn't, yeah.
It's just way easier than trying to count out. And not even that hard. I move three tomatoes, three of this, three of that,
game,
but it's like just shuffle and go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, I will just do number one because everybody across the universe knows my number one at this point. but it really, this will culminate the year of this game and this task, this burden that I took upon myself to bring this game around to everyone. But it honestly has been one of the most memorable things I've done in all of my board gaming hobby. And I carried Fleet the Dice Game around with me everywhere I went, every convention. I posted about it in social media, which is fun to do, but not really my favorite pastime. But I went out of my way to teach this to, I really honestly, I went to teach it to designers and to publishers and to content creators above anything else so that they could then go reach their audiences with how much I like the game. And it really went way beyond what I expected. I mean, Isaac Childress played this game with me, the designer of my number one game of all time and the number one game on BGG, and then went on a podcast to talk about it and me teaching it to him, to then, like, seeing me at PAX Unplugged to talk about, like, hey, that game's great and hope we get to meet up and I want to show you some Frosthaven. Like, what a moment. You know, that's just been so cool. And the Brothers Murph, you know, put it on their top list. Steph Hodge, who does stuff on BGG, and just all the people. And then just even all the razzing I got about liking the game. People are like, oh, we have to like this game because you like the game. But, I mean, it's just been so fun getting which I'm not necessarily looking to get prototypes and things, but getting the expansion from Matt Riddle, the designer, Matt and Ben, and getting Three Sisters, which is the follow-up, Roll and Write, and getting a chance to play that has just been cool, and Kathy editing their rule. I mean, it's just been an amazing door that opened just by heralding this game. So really, it's just an awesome game. It's an amazing Roll and Write. It's just a Roll and Write that's unlike any other because you just get to engine build and everything. I would say it won't crack into my top 20 or 25 games of all time, but it's right there behind all that. But just the experience alone, this is one of those games that just carries the experience
you'll
beyond the game.
You'll remember 2019 forever.
I will remember 2019 as the year of Fleet the Dice Game. And it was awesome because Kath and I decided to stay home even though we were kidless on New Year's Eve. And Kathy had the idea that let's play this game at 11 o'clock at night. So the last game you play in 2019 is Fleet the Dice Game. And it was cool that she mentioned that and came up with that idea. We took a picture and everybody loved that.
So I only have two questions for you. Question number one, was Fleet the Dice Game made gaming in 2019 unforgettable for you.
Yes.
Who pushed that game on you?
You did. Yes, you did. I bought it on January 2nd in our store, and that's why I went so gung-ho on the game, because I knew when a game comes out on January 2nd, nobody's going to talk about it on December 31st.
I remember
31st.
Telling you, and you're like, I don't like rolling rights.
I know.
I'm like, Brant, trust me.
I know. You were right. You're right. You were the first one to push that game on me, and it was just
who brought it into the store. Let's pat everyone on the back. So.
I don't have. Apparently, there's a dice tower thing, and there's a promo. I don't care. I don't need any of that stuff. I don't. That stuff doesn't get me all jazzed up. That you know, I have it or don't have it.
Actually,
so.
playing that game,
interestingly enough, it would be nice to try to acquire those things for the like best game in this game that I'm most well. I mean, when people say my name, if anybody knows who I am other than associated with the Portal, they know that game that I'm associated with.
Well, I mean, I liked it so much that I went out and bought every other Fleet product, even the ones that.
Well,
were
Matt
in the
and Ben,
nice
thank
game.
You.
So, my number one game, Brandon. Nailed it. I am inevitable. This game is inevitable.
Well, and I am Iron Man.
Yeah. That is Marvel Champions. I think I have to do it just because I need to check. I believe I am close to 60 plays of it now, and it came out when, Brant? November?
Yeah. We did it for the 24-hour event, right?
Yeah. Was that when it came out? Yeah, I think so.
But did we have it early then?
I don't know, what when's your first play?
We did play it at the 24-hour thing, right?
Yeah, I think that was, it was right then. I think it might have came the day before, but yeah, I played it 62 times. And what was the 24-hour event? What month?
November.
Yeah. So we're talking.
Yeah, less than 2 months, or just about 2 months.
Yeah, about 62 days, I played it 62 times.
Yeah.
I mean, Marco and I played it just before doing this. I mean, it's just, I don't get tired playing it. I don't get tired playing the same character with the same thing, the same villain, mixing it up. I've tried every combo, I'm pretty sure, at least close to. And I can't wait. Now, unlike Unmatched, this is one where I can't wait for the next. I can't
totally
wait for
agree.
Thor and the next one and try that and let me try this. And it's okay to lose sometimes, right? Like, oh, man, I lost because of this. Or, oh, this happened. Let me try this next. And it's not quite a puzzle as much as it's just like, just figure it all out, and hey, I can stay on my hero side. You go to your alter ego. Let's try this. Let's do it. It's just so good. And to cooperate, as fun as it is solo, as good as it plays solo, it's so good with three, four players.
And that's where people, you know? That's where I find like online and reviewers are getting it wrong. They're saying don't play with three and four. Now, I 100% agree when you're learning the game,
right.
It's not good to play three or four, unless you've got two or three other people that know the game really, really well and will be patient with you. But, yeah, then at 3 and 4, it's awesome. There's so much chance for cooperation and actions on other players' turns and figuring all those things out. Like, it's so good. And this is one of those games that Lord of the Rings, the card game, is in my top 10 games of all time. But I just haven't gotten to it in 2.5 years.
Right.
So this essentially replaces that game. And so as more gets added and I'm at something like 50, 60 plays like you, and it just goes up to, you know, I don't think a year from now I'm going to not be playing 20 games in a month. I think it's just going to keep going at this pace. My only disappointment is that Kathy doesn't really want to play it. And I thought it was a surefire win that we'd just be playing this game every time. She'd be excited when a new one came out. And she really wants, there's no story element. And she likes Marvel because of the story. It's just a fight, you know? So it has that piece. But yeah, the game's so good. I can see it sliding up for me. And, you know, like I said, overtaking Lord of the Rings at this point, it's just very fun. I don't get sick of it. I can honestly play the same deck against the same villain, and it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, multiple times in a row. I don't really want to do that because I like
changing
things
up. Well,
it's
just the way the villain deck comes out. I mean, you could always say with a card game, what you draw could change the play. But to take that out of the equation, the villain deck, just the way it comes out, what you flip over. Did you happen to get a Shadows of the Past, right? Like, that changes the game, right? I love when that happens. It happens so – I think it's maybe happened 6 times out of 62 plays, but it's awesome when it happens because I go, oh, crap, now can I win the game, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like, now it's a challenge. Like, okay, what do I do? So, yeah, I love it. And I remember the first time I said to myself, you know, I think Spider-Man – and you said, I think Spider-Man is going to be good defensively as a protection hero, even though we didn't think he was – you know – And then I think the first deck time I saw it was Marco playing it, where he's like, I'll defend for you, I'll untap, I'll defend for you, I'll draw another card, I'll draw another defend. And yeah. I'm like, whoa, that was awesome, right? Like, I was like, that was great. That was just a fun, I'm like, all right, I got to make that deck now and try it out. And I tried it solo, and, you know, so it's just, it's an awesome.
How did it work defending for everyone solo?
Yeah, I just defended for myself.
Yeah, the heroes just feel like the heroes. Like, I don't even know Miss Marvel. I have very little connection to Miss Marvel, but now I kind of know what Miss Marvel's like from playing her deck. Like, I have an idea. Oh, she grows, she shrinks, she's got damage, she can do things, she can get into spots and work and tinker on things. And she's got friends. Like, that's apparently a thing for her, friends. Like, I assume, right? But, like, there's just Iron Man feels like I'm just trying to assemble the suit and I'm going to be there. And then I'm just going to take these little pot shots and be annoying and distract the boss while you guys do all the real work, you know, kind of thing. But I'm just going to be that way. And Spider-Man's going to just protect until suddenly, like, oh, I can do this giant kick. Like, would that be a good idea, Mr. Stark? And then, boom, right? The giant kick. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thanks. Right now. Yes. Right? Just, it's awesome. It just, it's amazing how a card game feels like those characters. It's
and
so that, thematic and, in the way
and
it
I mean,
plays.
Not that I always, I mean, fantasy, I mean, they nailed it. Like, they really, I heard about this game. I was like, oh, it's in my wheelhouse. It's Marvel. It's an LCG. And sometimes, I mean, I love some of the LCGs, but they're always Game of Thrones. They're so hard to always get people to play and get out. And
yeah.
This one just
hasn't been hard to play at all. It's been too easy to get played.
One of my favorite, you know, you had your favorite. One of my favorite moments still is when we go up, right? We want to get the alternate art cards. We're like, we want to get some for Margo, bring him back. We're like, and we tell the guy, hey, can we get some of the promos? He's like, well, we really need you to demo it. And I kind of giggle and go, we've played 100 times between the two of us. Please, can we? Sure, but Have you tried Ultron?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we played 100 times. What do you think?
Oh, it was tried.
Yeah. Had you tried Ultron? Yeah, I'm like, 50 plays each. If we haven't tried Ultron, something's wrong with us. Still working on Rhino.
If they ever get Clint Eastwood into the MCU.
Oh, don't start with me.
Let's not even.
That would be a home run.
Yeah, no, for this, I think I need more stuff to, like, I just need to break into it and kind of, you know, just get through that initial barrier.
Yeah, you're at like 5 plays, would you say?
3, 4?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it feels overwhelming to play with us when we're at 50.
No, it's not that. I mean, I think the different, like, I don't know. I guess the deck building seems like it's kind of less intriguing right now to me. Obviously, like, I feel like that's a lot of where my enjoyment comes from, stuff like that, too. Just kind of like thinking through everything, trying to put something together. And I think right now it feels, you know, even if it's not completely true, I feel like it's kind of railroaded into, like, these are the cards that you should be playing with this character. And I think once it kind of changes course and gives you, you know, it's a fine line, because I know Lord of the Rings, there's, like, too much stuff. Like, there's a barrier now because there's so much out there. I guess this is just kind of, like, it's just, I'm going to find a way to, like, I need to get past that.
Yeah, it's definitely its biggest negative is in the deck building. The deck building is, like, not the most interesting part of the game.
But I think I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think they found the perfect balance a year from now, right? The deck building right now is limited because we only have the first expansion out. But they limited it just enough so that in a year, when there's a ton of expansions and a lot of cards, you say, hey, I want to play Spider-Man. Well, here's Spider-Man's cards. They have to be in your deck, and there's only 15 of them. And here's gray cards, what anybody can have. Yeah, there's a lot of them, but figure it out. But now pick protection, aggression, pick this, pick that, and you have a stack. Mm-hmm. Now pick, but that stack is this big versus, and if you're not seeing this at home, I'm going from a small hand to big. Right, but my point is I think they found the happy balance of we're going to give you deck building, but it's going to be contained in choose a thing versus what other games have done is, like, you have to have resource colors, and then you can go multicolor, and then it's just
right, you're trying
it's, then it's just the deck building becomes, I mean, you can spend 4 hours building, and not that I don't like that, but I just think Marvel Champions is, I hope, found that perfect balance of enough deck building a year from now when there's enough cards out.
It does feel like a few of the interesting ideas that I've seen or wanted, though, they shut down, which is fine because long-term those could become broken, and it's co-op, so how broken could it be? But, like, I wanted to do the I'm going to give everybody an Avengers mansion and a helicarrier. And they're like, nope, nope, nope. Like, if it doesn't say you can give it to somebody else, you can't. And that's fine. So, but that's just kind of taken away that piece. So it feels like if I'm playing Justice, I can't do anything except I'm supposed to be good at removing threat, because that's what justice does, and that's okay. But it's not like, oh, I found this justice protect like deck that protects, right? Because protection protects.
But notice how quickly they've started to change that with the first expansion, where
that's
everyone
true, yeah.
had you have a justice card that does damage and confuses. You have a
true.
You have a toughness card that does damage and stuns, right? Like so,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
starting to add and figure out and. Then I think you get to the point like Iron Man. You know me with my Iron Man deck. I've tweaked it so that I have 90% lightning bolts in that deck. As the card pool grows, you can start doing that fun stuff where it's
100% lightning bolts.
Well, you'll never get 100% because Iron Man has some non-lightning bolt cards in this deck. But I love it. It's my number one game. I'll argue with Brant that it's his number one game too, but he just couldn't do it. So...
So
that's everybody's list, right?
Yeah, I mean, the
we're
last
skipping
one clearly
over.
Doesn't count. What's he going to pick? Wait. Let's see. Word something. What do you?
Yeah, this is Letter Jam again. It deserved two spots on
Letter
my
Jam.
List.
Oh, wait.
Oh, I know what his number one is.
Twice as Letter Jam.
I know what his number one is.
I'm
yeah.
teasing you, Brian.
And my wife actually just made me birds. So yeah, she made some custom... swans actually out of like clay. It was really,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, while we were watching The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't paying any attention
nope.
to what she was doing. So, but I was focused on The Mandalorian at least, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Wingspan.
This is the way.
Yeah, Wingspan is my number one game, and it's just been. I've had a great time. I know there are some things that have kind of like. Like, I guess I'm talking, like, when we talk, Brant, I feel like there are some things that you see that are negatives to you, but I don't really feel it the same way. Mm-hmm. I know, like, end of the round, you're thinking, like, everyone's just going to lay eggs and score a lot of points
yeah.
that way. And I feel like that can happen, but there are other things that, like, you're kind of balancing. Like, it feels like it's kind of in the same category for me as, like, a Race for the Galaxy, where you're trying to figure out, like, can I beat my opponent right now? If I can't, how can I figure out a way to, you know, to counteract what they're doing? Or, like, what are my options? Like, what do I need to really focus on to turn the corner for my benefit? And I think that one's where it's, like I've been playing it a ton two-player, and it's just been, like, I've really enjoyed it, and it's just, it's given me a great, like, it's just a great one to get out to the table, especially, like, with my wife or with whoever. Just, I think Wingspan is... You know, it's going to break into my top 10. I don't know where it fits for all time, but it's definitely a top 10 for 2019.
Yeah, I love it. And one thing I would, because I don't know what Brant's negative is laying, I would be curious, my one, and it's not a complaint, but my one thing I'd like to see, either a suggestion or figure it out ourselves, is I don't like, I've played it enough where the random end of round goal, I feel like, there should be like some preset, like, hey, play this beginner game and use these four end of round scores. And hey, you're an advanced player playing with advanced players, use this combination. Because I do think it does change the game enough, but I also think sometimes they fall kind of well and you're like, ah, that's a real
yeah.
obvious and easy way to go, versus sometimes they're completely random. I almost would like a suggested playlist of like, you know, here's...
Right.
You know, here's
to
a
give you four different
right. Here's a beginner, intermediate, advanced way to have those final rounds. But it's a great game. I'm
yeah.
now jealous that you have homemade swans. I need to talk.
She's
to
She's working on cardinals now.
Cardinals, nice.
And maybe a peacock at some point. I was trying to figure out the most difficult bird for her to make.
Peacock.
That seems difficult, but she was ready to do that.
I want dinosaurs.
I was going to say, there's an ostrich.
Mike was just talking about that. He wants a dinosaur expansion. So maybe this will get it done.
I have bought the purple egg expansion there, but I have not.
Purple egg.
I haven't gotten to play it yet.
Like the expansion for Wingspan?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to play it. That's why I wasn't sure if it was a 2019 game, because it is so rare for a game of that magnitude to come out and have an expansion in the same year. That's not a Kickstarter, that kind of.
And win Kenner Spiel.
Did it win?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Good. The thing,
deserved
like,
it.
The expansion does a great job. The end of round goals, I think, after only a couple plays with the expansion, I think that's my favorite part of the expansion. Like,
the
it gives you
goals.
Some different end of round goals, which change it up. Like, I feel like the end of round goals that were in the base game were pretty stagnant. Like, you kind of knew, like, okay, I want this,
right.
this kind of, like, this category, or I want eggs on these birds. I feel like the end of round from the expansion give you a good variety.
So I have a question on the expansion, being I haven't mm-hmm. played it yet. I am curious. This is one thing that didn't irk me. Did they maintain the percentages from the first set?
So in the they
first,
said they did.
Okay, because that's impressive. Because in the first set, you have a card, you know, a victory condition card, and it says, you know, 18%, right? So this bird, you know, happens 18%. But now you add an expansion. Does that change the 18%, or did they maintain that? Because if they maintain that, that's impressive.
Because obviously they have all those tracked. So, right. I mean, round is going to be off by one percentage point, but that's going to be enough to change your, like, choice.
Right.
Right. It would have to be, like, there were three of these, and now there's 10.
But I can see some game companies or some designers going from three thinking to four about that and just being that. Like, oh, here's a new expansion, and not forgetting, but just not caring that, you know, the initial game had a percentage of how, you know.
I would think if you just add one of each of those and the whole expansion's 40 cards.
Yeah.
Right.
Felt bigger than 40, no? If,
I don't know.
I guess it is bigger than
it's
40.
It's bigger.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it's 80 cards, and they add two of each to each of those categories. They're fine. They're going to be within one percentage point of what they said, which is not.
Good,
doesn't make you feel like you're being lied to, you know?
No, no. I just that was a curiosity for me, like how they managed that and if they managed it. So.
All right, that's our top 10 games of 2019: Marvel Champions, Wingspan, and Fleet the Dice Game. I feel a little odd man out there, but everybody knew it coming. Up through the whole year. So
did Wingspan not show up on your list?
Wingspan was not on my top 10 games.
So do we only have two games that triple overlap?
Maracaibo and
Paladins.
Paladins of the West Kingdom with a triple overlap. So now you know the best two games. Especially when you're talking to three heavy Euro gamers. Primarily.
I thought Wingspan was a surprise. I didn't realize you had some negatives.
Was that 2019?
I don't have a lot of negativity towards Wingspan. I am sure it will win awards, and I'll be plenty happy for the game. It's been awesome. It's been a neat game, and it's got a lot of people excited about the hobby. So I just don't find it to be as engaging as the other 10 that I chose. That's it. So.
You know what game I forgot to mention because I only played it once and I can't find it? What's the name? Tapestry. I like Tapestry.
Nice.
And another great
game. That's all right, cool. That will wrap up our list. I think that's it. So until next time, I am your host, Brent.
I'm your co-host, Brian.
Special guest, Larry.
Awesome. And until next time, we hope you step. Bye now.